Hello, and welcome to Ride the Omnibus. I'm your host, Ariel Baska, and today I'm speaking with Marcel van Brakel and Mark Muvenoort about their work, Symbiosis, an interactive XR experience at South by Southwest.
I'm so delighted to be able to speak with you. I know I met you earlier, Marcel, at South By, but it's so good to meet you both. I'm Ariel Baska. I'm both a filmmaker and a podcaster. And it was so incredible to experience Symbiosis because it is maybe one of the most overwhelming XR experiences I've had. So far, it just surrounds you with so much story and so much meaning so quickly. And I wonder, how were you able to tap into these environments? What was the genesis of creating this environment?
A lot of our work kind of comes from the previous work. So we worked before on projects researching different kinds of the body instead of the visual. So we work with smell in Famous Deaths, and also in a book that we published on the sense of smell and how you can use that for strategic communication, interaction design. And before that, Symbiosis, we also did some other installations concerning smell, but also touch, like making heat animations on the body. So doing all the kind of works which were not that visual, we were also interested to just get back to the image again. And actually it's a kind of Symbiosis was like the merchant of three different ideas that we had before. First, we wanted to do a VR piece with food sensations. That was long on the top of our list, but we never found kind of the right concept to put that into a shape. And then after that, we also pitched an idea to an advertising agency on having a dinner on Titan as an alien within an alien body.
Oh, wow.
And that never kind of took off. And then I was visiting an art show in New Art Space in Eindhoven, and they were showing a film of Donna Haraway, documentary on her work, Storytelling for Earthly Survival. And in that, there was an abstract of the Camilla story. And that kind of blew me away. I thought this was such a poetic idea to kind of merge body with this endangered species to create these new kinships with them. That I thought, well, this is the glue that kind of can stick all of these interests of food, snacks, and VR. The story of the urgency of the story about global, how to kind of overcome the Anthropocene, and also then changing your body architecture to kind of make it fit into VR, kind of make sense to kind of start that project. Hmm. And we're also very interested in, since we also market doing robotics, like exploring the possibility of soft robotics, because we thought that was such an interesting technology to use. Because it's soft and feminine, it can be in, it's organic, it can go in the body or outside of the body, it has pressure, it's different, totally different than just the normal robotics. So that was kind of, that all kind of came together with that idea of Donna Haraway. And then we just started to try to make it work.
Wow. It's incredible too, because I think the addition of the physical sensation in terms mm-hmm. of the pressures that exist within the suits, et cetera, creates such an interesting experience where so many of your senses are activated simultaneously that I mm-hmm. feel like between the robotics, the pheromones, the sense, you have so many things conjured up simultaneously within the storytelling. I wondered for you, Mark, how did you approach storytelling through technology?
Well, and also there's also the sound, of course, because I did a lot of the sound design. Well, I think technologies are, so all the different technologies are explorations basically in how you can tell stories. So it's not only, so you have this pristine story, and then you look for the right technology to tell that. It's also a conversation between technology and the possibilities of technologies, the implications of them, and the story world itself, or the stories that can evolve out of that. So I think, and especially when you combine them all, and they're not in a sequence and not like really understandable, then new ways of story experience can actually happen. Just exactly because you don't understand everything what's happening. You know, if you are in complete control of all these technologies, and they're very clear and discernible in every step they are designed, then you have control over them, and you will. And I think that the fun stuff to do also is to be surprised by what can happen if you actually use these technologies together and create these experiences with them.
And in terms of creating the sound design, I mean, so in poetry, I had a poetics teacher in Latin once upon a time who always said sound is more important than sense. And I still believe that as a filmmaker to this day, that sound is way more important than anything else that's happening within whatever world you happen to be exploring. So for you, from a sound design perspective, what were your guiding principles?
No, I think that I'm not sure if I have very clear guiding principles, but so what I like to do is explore also. I like to be in conversation with what I hear, but also being influenced. And of course, with Marcel, we had a lot of conversation. We have a kind of concepts. We created concepts on the sound design, but also some scientific insights, you know, some scientific knowledge on, for example, on this principle of sonifying cells that divide. There's this procedure that they recorded like yeast cells. And there's a sort of a sound design coming from that. So that highly inspired me. And looking into the scientific ways of looking at sound and looking at nature, but also, for example, the autonomy of animals, you know, the autonomy of butterflies and the way they hear or listen and connect to their surroundings, not with ears, but with their feet, for example. And all these kinds of things, so looking and investigating what are these other bodies capable of and how do they sense their world and what does that mean for their perception of their world and their realities and how can you translate that to sound? So I think that was the most interesting thing. Maybe that's a guideline. That's a guideline. That's a guideline, yeah, of course. That's a sort of, yeah. So that I think that was and it's not only I think not we not only did that in the sound design, we did that in all the senses basically. So also what you feel is that maybe for us it's not really comfortable, but maybe for that other being or that other critter it is, you know, it's part of their bodily experience. So we have to introduce that and to let you accept that in some way or yeah. Come to terms with it or something. I think that's a constant negotiation between
And I think also I think also another thing that was very important in the sound design was like we wanted to have it sound hybrid. Like we use like the real sounds processed or sounds inspired by the real thing. But then at other moments, we had like digitized, completely generated by a computer or because also if we think about nature and the concept that we have about nature or this new maybe emerging world that we're heading to, it is a hybrid world where biology and technology will become one and the same thing and will merge into something new. So we kind of also took that into the sound design that like, you could hear this like tension or transformation from the real to the digital world, make that kind of interesting.
And speaking of tensions, the way that you encourage interactions between people within the world of symbiosis, where you have different people as different creatures interacting with one another, and not necessarily recognizing each other. I just wonder, how do you create a landscape that helps people overcome these very real social inhibitions that we've all grown up with?
I don't know how consciously we kind of designed that. We talked about it earlier. Like, one of the things that we thought was very interesting, for instance, with the previous project, Famous Deaths, it also had like parallel scenarios. So I don't know if you're familiar with the Famous Deaths project, but the audience gets shoved in a morgue freezing cell and they kind of relive the final 5 minutes of a famous person's life till they die. And we only use scent and sound to create that experience. But this is some kind of an analog VR system, because it puts you in a first-person perspective of Whitney Houston or Gaddafi or John F. Kennedy till you die. So, but the setup for that project was like 4 morgue freezing cells, and people would get in there a parallel. So, and they also get out kind of in the same time. And what happened was, like, people started to talk about the stories because they knew the other one had a different experience and a different story. It was the same installation, but different content, different relationship with the content. So people were very curious to kind of compare with each other and talk about it. And we kind of used that same strategy also for Symbiosis. And that also because for me, Symbiosis was much more about the worlding than about the individual stories. It was more about how you have different perspective of the same world, of different animals, but also about different themes within that story world. I think that was way more important than one specific story. So that element of Jessica have to onboard, negotiate your role, then have an experience and then share about with each other about what you have experienced and how that might differ from your own is, I think, a very important part of the work. Maybe way more important than the individual VR stories themselves, actually. So,
yeah, and to add on that, and also tapping back to Famous Deaths, you know, the morgue freezers are this visual, they have the connotation of, whoa, death, and that immediately triggers people to discuss that, you know, look at that, and they start to react and socially interact on that, what they see and how we present that as a theatrical piece. And the same thing is also happening in Symbiosis, I think, because of all the elements, and there's maybe already people in the installation, and you see them and you see what are they doing and why are they in this constellation, and what are these cylinders, are there, what's all the tech, you know, and so you step in this whole in this whole story world.
And I think that also had to do with, like, the aspect of what you also talked about with the previous interview, like the aspect of surrendering to the situation. You all know you're in kind of in the same you have to all dive into it. Nobody knows what to expect. And at the same time, you have to fully trust us and the system and each other to do it, and also us to guide you through it. And even more, unfortunately, we didn't have the food snacks at South by Southwest, but open your body, like literally opening your body to receive a food snack, which you don't know how it's created, how it will taste, you will get it actually in your physical body. It's also kind of scary. And that kind of scare to kind of participate and to have to surrender to it is also something that kind of creates a relationship with the people who are able to do that experience together.
But also the suiting up. And that's also, you know, that's a strange thing. It takes you to this other space or maybe another place, but it's also a safe thing because, you know, it's you have this. I remember from experience that I did myself, you know, that the more theatrical experiences, then when I got suited up for some of them, I still remember that act of that I get a helmet on and I got a vest and stuff. And I don't really remember from some of them what actually was the content, but I remember that physical suiting up, and it gave me this, wow, I'm part of this or something. There's also, you engage not only just dressing somebody up, but with a suit. And then, of course, it's a strange suit maybe, but I think it's also a safe thing.
Well, and I think it's also one of those things that I think triggers, at least in me, like, I will say, like, I had a friend taking pictures of me as I was going through the whole process, and another friend commented that I looked like a queen who was being attended to in the process of being suited up. And there is something very sort of comforting about having pressure applied to you, to your body. Temple Grandin wrote about this with animals, for example, that animals want to be hugged and want to have that wrapping feeling. But it is really visceral when you're in those suits for symbiosis.
But also this wrapping up is also within therapeutical session. Yeah. With children, for example, you have these heavy blankets they get over them, and it really soothes them down and relaxes them. But
I just had to think about when we were just at the prototyping phase, we invited Casper, the curator of ITVA Dog Club, to our studio to do one of the first tests in the slime molds. And it was just in the middle or right after the first COVID epidemic. And after the experience, he just started to cry because it was so intense to have this sense of touch, which was we're just so cut off of that experience. And it's so important as a human being to be touched. I think that was very moving for me to do such a thing and have such an impact on someone who's seen it all, actually.
Yeah.
And have there been other people who've come through who really surprised you with their experience of symbiosis? I was curious if there have been other situations that were really unexpected.
Well, yeah, I also want to, Mark, maybe you can talk about that. You talked about your friend who did the experience in ITVA. And didn't really like, she hated it, and then called you back after some days.
She was overwhelmed, and I thought she really disliked it. So she was really like out of it when she came out of it. And she's seen a lot of stuff too, but she was so she did not know what happened. So she could not, she likes to have. And that's not a control freak, but she's okay. She's not like, oh, I'll see. But, so she's, she was really struck down, actually. And I was, of course, because it's a friend with a familiar person. And then you are especially like triggered by that, I think, or differently triggered. Like, let me say it like that. But, and then after a couple of days, she wrote this whole email and explained what she actually found and experienced, and that was really, really intense. That was really the bottom line was that she had an experience that she had not had before. So there was this new thing happening because of all these things going on at the same time. She could not like point it out. And I think that was for me that was really special. But also maybe you're gonna tell that, but your experience with your uncle was blind. I don't know if you want to, but you told me how that went and how he experienced it. And also this, that was a very interesting story to hear. But also people that are really I remember this guy at the Holland Festival. He was really, he did not like it. He was really, but he was really funny. And honest or something, and then but this whole conversation with the other people that he was in the installation with started happening, and then after that conversation was at the end of that conversation, he realized, oh, I do like it because I had this whole conversation about it, and that's what I take away from it. So these different levels of experiencing and entering the work, that's really rewarding as a maker that you can see that happen,
and it is. Very unexpected. Some people kind of experience this as some kind of psychedelic trip, and really wowing. We had like children in it running around, talking to each other. Where are you? Cannot see you. Just having this almost like a playground. But right during South by Southwest, one of the actresses that does the narration for Camilla's story, she called me up because in her personal life. Things were going wrong. She was injured. Her mother was having a bad time, and she really sent me a voicemail that she could not stop thinking about the character and how she kind of could relate to the character and the transition that the character has to go through in Camilla's story. And for me, that was like the high point of South by Southwest, that can kind of really, it was not all of the press and the success. It was like that only for one person, we could have a real deep impact on a personal level. And I think as an artist, that's the biggest compliment that you can have, that something really resonates on the deepest level of your soul, in a sense, and because that's what was happening with her. And that made me very emotional and thank, yeah, was so such a beautiful moment, although it was a very sad moment. But
it was not sad. She was not sad, I think, Marcel. He wasn't sad.
She wasn't sad, but she was just crying when she was calling me. And she was also, I don't know, it was very important, very special. And then at the same time, you have all these people running out to the stage. Wow, this is amazing. It's also nice. But for me, these moments are the most interesting ones. When you, in some way, one or another, it touches the soul or it really helps someone to kind of understand where they're at in their life. And never expected to do that with this piece, but it kind of happens.
I think for me, with the experience of Symbiosis, it was the moments of human connection where you feel like you're connected to these different creatures around you. And then you're actually figuring out who was who at what time, you know, in the aftermath when you're exploring and discussing with other people. Like, that feels like the meat of it to me. Like, as impressive as the virtual world is, I think the unpacking afterward and exploring those personal connections and having relationships with strangers in both the virtual reality and in reality and exploring what those things mean, I think is the real strength of the piece, because it does force people to connect.
Yeah, that's super, super cool that you see it like that and to take that away from it. I think that's, that's a huge compliment that actually is happening. And especially when I think you enter that piece with people you don't know, familiar, maybe vaguely know, and have this, even in this like bizarre, crowded place as South By, and because now we showed it mostly in a more confined, more theatrical setting, you know, that you enter the space and you were with this small group of people, with six people, and you have this experience. And the good thing about that actually is also that people book a slot. So they go and you go with a friend and you with the two of you, and then there's four other people, and then you connect with those, you know. So this actually is happening. It's hardly the case that six people that actually know each other already go to the thing. It's more, so they you have to connect that. And then, it's super awesome that you take that away from it. I think that's,
Although I wonder about having strangers be in the human centipede, the way that it, you know, appears. And how often did you have to develop trust with people that they were, in fact, going to be able to do this?
Yeah, that differs, I think, per location, also per group. The interesting thing we noticed when, and also what we heard, of course, from because it ran for almost 4 months in PEMCOT, of course, but we saw it also for like almost 2 weeks here in Holland and the festival, being there every day. And having this startup, this onboarding thing going on, and people negotiate amongst each other who's going to be what. And then there's this personalities, they come, these roles you take, and then
service.
And then it's people that are more. Now that's, I think it's a light way of being confronted with that a bit as an audience, Yeah, I don't know if that's actually what you were looking for in the answer, but and that's what I noticed. And what's interesting that so we direct that in to a certain extent that that's actually happening in onboarding because these questions are put upon the audience. You know, they have to decide who's going to be who. I don't know because I was not at South By. So then how do you guys did it over there? But I suppose the same.
Yeah, like we could have also chosen to just. Have you select a character at ticketing? But we wanted to have this interconnection. And also because negotiating, if you think about symbiosis as a future model, it is about negotiation. It is about give and take and make a conscious decision about it and also be able to share or to let go. That was a conscious decision, and we kind of it works. Although, sometimes also rebel to it. We also heard the reports sometimes that, for instance, in Portland, that people who are not that good in this negotiation process were condemned to become the AI. Some people did not like it to be the AI.
What does that say?
really felt, not that satisfied by the experience because they thought they missed out on the good stuff. We kind of love that scenario because it's really fake and abstract and weird. But I can imagine also that if you buy a ticket, yeah. I think that's also something we heard more in America than in Europe, for instance. That's funny. Yeah.
But it's spinned off a very interesting discussion also among us.
Yeah.
What do we promise with this, you know, and what is important as a whole piece? And it really makes
how to frame that.
How to frame that. So why is this experience in the six experiences so different, and what does it mean, and is this still a good thing, you know, that was really interesting to discuss amongst ourselves of how do we see that as an individual thing, or is it a whole thing, and is it about this whole thing that we are with each other, including the AI, having this different perspective on the world?
Well, and I think that goes to how the world is currently reckoning with how we even think about AI. And so it's creative that you have this sort of abstract representation of how AIs see reality and construct reality. And is that as valuable or as integrative an experience as one that's authored by human hands? And I do find it very funny that American audiences would object to that particularly, but I'm somehow not shocked.
I don't actually, because we were way longer there, so there's a lot more people that actually did it over there, so maybe that's we don't have scientific grounds to but it seems like that they're more outspoken about that, or it was an issue. And also maybe because we're, you know, that was fantastic crew of Pemcot ran the show for all these months. We were not there. So if you're, maybe if you're there as an artist, you can more frame that and talk about it and explain what we actually are explaining right now and have this conversation, which maybe is satisfying for an audience. Actually, we know that
I also choose.
It's nice to frame your work and people listening to it, I think.
I think at Southwest, we all were also able to kind of frame that beforehand. I really tried to manage some expectation that you would not get a story arc when you're doing the AI. And that's just how it is. So that also kind of desensitizes it maybe a bit. That's also how you learn when you do such a thing. You learn every show that you do, you learn better how to frame it and how to manage it and how to make it work. With Famous Deaths, also like getting people out of the morgue freezing cell is as important as the whole experience, because we do that really fast and abrupt, and that makes it almost like a rebirth, because then you're from the dark pushed out back into the real world of the festival. And that kind of shocks people, but that really, really helps the experience. But that's all this kind of details. It's a bit like with theater. You kind of also discover them by just doing the shows for a couple of times and then see what works, what doesn't work, how to improve on that.
Same with music. Yeah. Performing music is the same thing. You know, you have to do that on stage to actually know what works and what works less.
Yeah. And it's always that question of how you navigate and negotiate meaning in terms of every group of people is different with a live theatrical experience and every interaction is completely different. But I just have never seen something as wildly interactive as this was in terms of really forcing people to actually connect to one another. So I was just blown away by it. But in terms of future projects at this point, what are you focusing your energies towards at this point?
Now, we're actually preparing quite a bunch of stuff, but still also looking for funding and that kind of, so it's in various stages of development. One of the projects kind of really a spin-off of Symbiosis, because in Symbiosis we kind of create these future worlds ourselves, but it's also a bit elite because you can only have 6 people in an hour, so a large part of the audience cannot participate. So within that project, Future Botanica, we're going to create future speculative scenarios based on future nature that we're going to plant into real nature with AI. So it's an AR app where audience are able to kind of build these new stories and creatures and plant them in ecosystems, in gardens. And these gardens are interactive, so if at each time when you add to these ecosystems, it also changes the whole thing, telling you that everything is interconnected in the ecosystem. And within that project, you co-create also with an AI, an artificial intelligence to create these scenarios and to create these worlds. So that's something which we're working on. Also as a spin-off, because in Symbiosis, we had a lot of ideas about how we can frame VR as theater, as performative VR in a way, but because it was such a complex project for us, being in such a small studio, we could not really put into place all of the ideas that we had on how to kind of create interesting interaction with the audience. Even more than maybe you now experienced. So I'm now working on preparing a project where we work with haptic suits that if you touch them and trigger audio, but also sometimes narratives. So in that sense, 30 or 40 people will be creating a music opera or a music piece together, but also lyrics that comes along with that. And that also puts you in both the creating. So the audience will be both spectator as a participant, creator, and also a role within that story world. So that's a huge new experiment that I really like to do. And Mark is working on a robotics project.
Yeah, that's a project that asks how can we be informed by indigenous knowledges in the design of robotic interaction. Basically, so and then specifically, I look at how this idea of concept of complete concepts of the song lines on the Aboriginal cultures can be used to have these interactions with knowledge systems that we have, or with histories, or maybe with social questions, and see a sort of a robotic system as a sort of a hub to enter that sort of knowledges and practices. it's very early stage, but I'm doing some experiments with that, with also with students, and trying to couple that to my research position I have at the university. But it's also related to this, maybe related to the symbiosis, I think, because it's also about how can we do that in environments that are maybe losing certain qualities or losing aspects of life, and how do we preserve that? How do we tell these stories about that? And can we have different ways of preserving these knowledges and interacting with them in a more localized, more an active way, also a performative way, maybe. But that's the tapping into these same themes and concepts that are present in symbiosis too.
And so also just want to add, like, other project that we're also preparing is Microbiome Restaurant, which is an eating experience where we want to kind of shift your idea of self, because we often look at the body as just this 100% human thing. This is like 90% microbian, and these microbes produce hormones to kind of also manage us and manage how we feel and manage how we think. So within that, it will be a eating dinner in certain different steps that will challenge that idea of yourself. So you can really dinner with your microbiome at the same time, have a dinner for two with them, actually seeing them live on your body and feed them. And at the same time, you get fed by them too. You work with memory, want to store your memories in liquids. And we also do haute cuisine for your anus.
Wow.
So that's that's a more radical project we're preparing also.
That's very cool. You've got a lot of stuff going on, but yeah. I'm really excited to see more of this coming down the pike. I would love to see more of your work.
We hope so too. We get it funded.
That's always the question. Where's the funding coming from? Who's got the money? Who's got the money? Well, thank you so much. This is such a delightful interview, and I really loved symbiosis as an experience. As I said, it was totally overwhelming for me, but once I had time to negotiate meaning with the other strangers around me, I just absolutely loved it. So it was wonderful.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Yeah, thank you for your for the lovely conversation we had. Thanks.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Cool. Ciao.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Nice meeting you.
Thank you for listening. And thank you for taking a moment right now to reflect with me on the history of the land you are listening on now. Whether you are stuck in traffic or sitting in your office chair, take the time to look up whose traditional lands you are on now and what treaties govern those territories. I record this podcast on the site of land stolen from the Manahoac people. I am grateful to work on this land, and I acknowledge that we need to protect and honor the history of the indigenous people from other tribal nations that have made innumerable contributions around the world. I share this in the hope that my listeners may join me in honoring our past, present, and future. Without this land, this earth, and each other, we are nothing. Before I go, please take 30 seconds now to leave us a 5-star review by clicking on Support the Show in the show notes. We don't want your money, we want your words. A simple RTO rocks my socks, expands our reach, and helps us keep bringing you great content. And connect with us on Instagram and Twitter, where we are at Omnibus Ride. You can also visit our website, omnibusride.com, where you can go to dive deeper into our content and learn more about the show. A special thank you to our amazing editor, William Das. We truly couldn't do what we do without him or Danielle. Be well, be safe, and keep in touch.